12. I'll read verses 41 through 44, and we'll put it on the screen so you can follow along as I read it aloud. This is what it says. Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change. But she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Okay, so the reason I ask you to shuffle where you were sitting and to get your device out and have it handy is because we're going to do a little interactive polling in just a little bit later. But all of that, even just so that we can together be mindful of where we're going, what God is calling us to. I said last Sunday that we're getting a sense of a vision together for what 2020 would look like for our church. 2020 vision. And so we're going to do a little bit of that together as we think about where we are now as a church, going into next year and beyond. And the scripture that we read came from Mark chapter 12 and gives us something good to think about and reflect on as we have these conversations and dreams and visions for where we're going. But really, all of Mark chapter 12 is deep and powerful. If you're looking for something to read this week out of the Bible, I encourage you to read the 12th chapter of Mark. Start at the beginning, read the whole thing through. The way it starts is people are coming to Jesus and asking him questions. And over again, he's being questioned by people, not people who are just curious, but really some of these people, it says, are trying to trip him up. I mean, even their very questioning of him is sort of a dig. And the first question that it records in Mark 12 is that he gets asked about paying taxes. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? And then the next question he gets asked is about their marital laws. And what happens for a woman who's married and then her husband dies and she marries the brother and he dies and she marries the brother and he dies? And just this incredible hypothetical scenario that they created. And the next question he gets asked is, which is the greatest law or commandment that we have? Time and time again, just coming at him and asking questions. And the crowd is sort of gathering as another person steps up and takes a shot with a question. And in fact, I think it's true of probably a lot of us at times. We're always willing to entertain thoughts about God or about the church or about Jesus when we get to ask questions. Oh yeah, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, I think this. What happens in Mark chapter 12 is after Jesus responds to question after question, then he says, "All right, it's my turn." Because here's what I'm observing. Here's the kind of question I'm ready to ask you. It's funny how the crowd thins out when it's Jesus' turn to ask us questions. About ourselves, about our church. And what he says first is, look, what I'm observing is you've created this system, this religious structure, where some of you, many of you, several of you get to sort of feel really good about yourself and dress nicely and present yourself well to one another and be recognized and acknowledged for your importance and your ability to get things done and your positions of authority. And you get recognized even in the church or out in the community. You're very important. And you've created this system where you get to feel good about what you have and who you are and what you do, all the while building that up for yourselves on the backs of the least, the hurting. Even names the widow whose house you take from her in order to build up a system for yourself. And then it says, as he's there in the temple, Jesus takes a place where he can sit and watch people giving to the temple treasury. So I think it's worth our while to just set that scene. Put ourselves there with Jesus and the disciples in the temple. And he's sitting watching as people bring their offerings to give in the temple treasury box. And the disciples are around, and so they're just sitting, watching. I mean, there's activity, there's people all around doing things, worshiping, and they're just coming by and putting their offering in the temple treasury. Does this make anybody uncomfortable? Yeah. Jesus just sitting there watching people give their money. And he's watching all these rich, wealthy people come by and put lots of money, it says, into the temple treasury box. By the way, that temple treasury, that's not the tithe. So for them, that was their offering that they gave to maintain the temple, to buy the supplies that were needed, the wood to burn and the altar and make the sacrifices. This was their offering to maintain the temple. Not the tithe. In fact, I mean, in those days, you gave many different offerings, different tithes even. There was really not just that 10% and I'm done, I'm good. That's been sort of a later adaptation in the church of the practice of giving and tithing, to where we've set this standard that, well, you know, once I can give 10%, then I've essentially paid God off for God's claim on my life and my stuff, and now I can take the rest of it and do whatever I want with. That was not at all the way that the giving, the offering functioned back then. In fact, I mean, you can look in history and see where, particularly even in this country, as people began to amass wealth and fortune, they instituted the notion of a 10% tithe, not as a way of sacrifice, but as a way of saying, well, that's all I got to do. And then I can take the rest of it and do what I want with it and continue to build and amass a fortune for myself. Which may have been a little bit of what Jesus was observing with the wealthy people who were bringing loads of money and putting it in the temple treasury. But then it says, he saw a woman, a poor widow, kind of reminiscent of the widow he mentioned at the beginning of the chapter, come and put in two small coins, worth a penny is what it said in the scripture. It's like he knew that if he was watching as people gave, he would see something worthwhile. He would see something important. We know he wasn't watching to see how much they gave or who gave the most, because he went on to explain how that's not really the point. But it's like he knew that as he watched what people did with their money, he would see something important, learn something, which is said in other places in the scriptures, that if we want to know about ourselves, who we are, what matters to us, what's important to us, we can look and see what we do with what we have, with our money, our possessions. Bishop Will Willimon, modern-day theologian with a little sarcasm and edge to him, one of my favorites, he says, money has a way of revealing something about us. That anytime we take our money and set it next to Jesus, it has a way of becoming a medium of revelation, almost like a mirror. It has a way to unmask us. And so Jesus was watching. And when he saw that woman, that widow, give those two coins, he called all of his disciples over and he said, look at that. All these other people have given loads of money, and she just gave those two coins, and she's given more than any of them. And we know that what he was teaching them and teaching us was not about church fundraising. It wasn't about funding the budget or paying for the temple, because if it was, he would have highlighted and lifted up all those generous sums of money, those great sums of money that had been given. But that's not what it was about for him. It's like there was something else, something deeper, a deeper spiritual truth at play. Not only for individuals, but for us as a community. And we also know it's his point was not to find a way to get a little bit more out of the people who don't have much. Because again, he'd already pointed out to them the ways in which they've set up a system like that. To tell people who already just barely have enough to get by, hey, you just need to give a little bit more so that we can feel good and comfortable with what we have. Now, there's something else. And what he says to his disciples about her is that she gave out of her poverty, and she gave everything she had to live on with those two coins. Some translations say she gave everything she had to live. Others say she gave her entire living. So it really had nothing to do with the amount of money per se, but it had to do with what she was bringing as an offering to God. And what she brought in those two coins was her life, her livelihood, her living. She brought all of herself to God and gave all that she had, all of her, as an offering to God. She gave her life. She gave her faith. She gave her trust. She gave her hopes and her dreams for her future, for her next meal, for the future of the temple, of the community of faith, of the world. She brought all that she had of herself and gave it as an offering to God. And Jesus said, she's given more than any of these others. And that's kind of the season we're in of the church right now for our looking ahead to next year. What does it look like for us to bring and to give all of who we are to what God is doing among us? Not just ourselves individually, but as a church. I mentioned last week, the staff and the leadership of the church have been making plans, have been praying and considering, discerning, dreaming about how we can be the church for this community and beyond next year. And there have been incredible ideas about how we can enhance the worship experience that we have. How we can reach out to families and children around us. How we can feed kids who are hungry, like Crystal told our kids in here just a few minutes ago. I got to tell you about a church meeting I was in recently that was wonderful. God moved. God moves in church meetings. I know. It does happen. But I was in a meeting with a group that is responsible in our church for administering a bequeathment that was left to the church by the Lance family. And maybe you recognize that name, or you understand that they left money to the church. And so there was people who were asked to serve on a sort of a team to help administer that money and see about where it would go. And they've received information from the church, ideas, and decided to focus on things that were missional and purpose and things that reached out beyond the walls of the church. And one of the things that has been funded through that money is the 9 o'clock modern worship service to create a new way for us to engage people in worship. And it's been amazing to over this year to watch that service grow in number and new people showing up and participating in worship, and we haven't even promoted it yet. That's going to happen around the Advent season. But that's one of the things that they did. But the meeting I sat in recently, there was requests that had come to that committee for two things. One was to buy the food and the supplies necessary to do the meal packing that we do on Good Friday. We did this past Good Friday, and we'll do it again this year. And it's packing the meals to feed people who are hungry, all over the world. And the request came for funding to be able to pack 15,000 meals. And that was X dollars. And somewhere in that meeting, somebody said, you know what? What would it take to fund 20,000 meals? Let's offer that back and see how that's received. And there was another request to help fund a team that would go on a mission trip to El Salvador, to go and work with the Methodist Church there, to go and care for the children in various ways, to provide scholarships for kids to attend the school there. And in that committee, somehow somebody said, okay, well, they want X amount of dollars. What if we give them more? What more could be done? And somehow in that meeting, the attitude, the mentality went from one of scarcity, of, well, this is all we've got, and so we got to, be very careful and judicious about what we do with it, and we don't want to use it all, to a mentality of, these are things that God is calling us to as a church, to spread the love of God around the world, so if we're going to do it, let's do it. And if we want to make 15,000 meals, let's make 20,000 meals. God has given this to us, entrusted us with it, to use it, to be a blessing. It was like in that meeting, I got to watch the story of this widow's mite, that her mite was her might because she was willing to say, everything that God has given me, I am willing to give back to God for the glory of God and for God's kingdom to move in this world. And that's the kind of stuff that's going on in this church, as we dream and vision about the future. She didn't hold anything back. She gave it all of who she was to God. And Jesus said, that's what I'm talking about. And so we're visioning and dreaming together about who we can be as the church in Chamblee next year. And that's why I asked you to bring your devices, because we're going to do this together right now as an act of worship. So I want to ask a few questions that we can all respond to, and we're going to watch our responses come in real time together as the church, okay? So we're using a polling software that operates online. So one of two ways for you to participate. Either you can do it by text message, or you can do it by going to a web browser on your device. So if you've got a way to get on the internet, surf the web, or to text. So texting is the easiest way, I think. What you do is you send a text message, and this is the body of the text message. You send the message, CUMC 925, to the number 22333. So if you're texting somebody, pretend their phone number is 22333, and then the message that you send is CUMC 925. You ought to get a response back that says you are now in the poll. Or if you're online, if you're using a web browser, you can go to the website, pollev.com/, and then the same keyword, CUMC925. And we've already jumped to the first question. So you can start rolling in your answers. Which of these is the biggest sports disappointment for you? If it's the Braves, put A. If it's the Falcons, put B. If it's the Yellow Jackets, put C. If what is sports, put D. Were you waving at me? Absolutely. You text to the number 22333. It's in small print up there, but you text to the number 22333, and your text message is CUMC925. This is just a fun one to get us started, to make sure that everybody's able to use the technology and get a response in, and we can see our collective answers together. I see people are responding. Is anybody trying to respond and having a hard time? Would you indicate? If you're trying to respond and having a hard time. Okay, either everybody's got it or people don't want to say. Yeah. Yes. Yes, you can put in multiple answers. You can put in multiple answers. So you put your answer in, and then if you're helping somebody nearby, you put their answer in. And it'll show up there. We're putting you on the honor system that you don't just vote a whole bunch of times yourself. But has everybody got the hang of it? Clearly, the Falcons are the biggest disappointment. All right, everybody's got the hang of it. We're going to go to the next question. So the next question is, what's your favorite thing about Chamblee UMC? If it's the people, put A. If it's the music, put B. If it's the facilities, put C. If it's the pastor's beard, put D. I got overruled on that one, so it made it on the screen, right? So you can put in your answer, and then if you're helping somebody, you can put in their answer. And we can see collectively our responses. Really? And don't, somebody's just voting over and over again. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. Has everybody had a chance to respond to that? Is anybody still putting in an answer? Oh, stop it. So we're getting the hang of it, all right? All right, now this next question's a little different. This one you're going to type in an answer, an actual word, a one-word answer to the question, what's the one word that you think best describes this church? Chamblee United Methodist Church. What's the one word you think that best describes this church? You just type in that word and hit submit. And then you can help somebody who's nearby and type in what they think. The more often a word comes up, the bigger it'll be on the screen. By the way, we are moderating these responses, so, What's the one word that you think best describes this church? Do you see where we start to get a vision together for God's church among us? Has anybody not had a chance to get an answer in? They have to get up onto the screen. They're being moderated, like I said. But has anybody not had a chance to type in a response? All right, we're going to go to the next question. Here's the next question. This is multiple choice. How do you feel about the future of Chamblee UMC? A, excited. B, cautiously optimistic. C, unsure. D, very concerned. How do you feel about the future of Chamblee UMC? You can answer for yourself, and then if you're helping somebody, you can put their answer in. Responses are still coming in. If you weren't able to get into this or you're not responding via devices, I mean, you can just turn and tell the person next to you. It's fine. You can have that conversation. It looks like the majority of us in here are either cautiously optimistic or excited, some unsure, and some more even still very concerned. This is where we are as a church. This is who we are. As we begin to work to get a vision for next year. I'll tell you, we did this in 9 o'clock too. The worship service that happens at 9 o'clock in here. And all of the results that we get, we'll be going through them this week. And we'll come back to you with them next week with some information, some reporting about what they all look like. All right, a couple more questions. The next question, what need do you see in the community that you think we can address? That's another one where you type in an answer. What need in the community do you see that you think we can address? What need in the community do you see that you think we can address? This is just a way we can get a glimpse, a snapshot of a vision for who we are and who God's calling us to be. All right, one last question. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to put in a response. Remember, they're being moderated, so it may take a second. But we're going to get all that information and have it and bring it back next week. One last question. If there were no limitations, money was no object, what is one new thing that you'd like to see this church do? If there were no limitations, money was no object, what's one new thing that you'd like to see our church do? What's one new thing you'd like to see this church do? I don't know if we only got three answers or if we're just having a hard time getting them up on the screen. I feel like if you sent them in, we'll still have them. All right. Sounds like maybe we've overloaded the system, which maybe is a good thing too, for us to turn loose a little bit and think and dream about what God is calling us to do and who God's calling us to be. And so here we are. I mean, this is us as a church, catching a vision for who God's calling us to be in 2020. Not unlike Jesus and the disciples sitting in the temple and him pointing out that woman who was willing to give all of herself, all of who she was, to God. So here we are, giving all of ourselves, all of our hopes and dreams, all that we have about us and among us to what God is calling us to do. Considering what we give, why we give, how we give. I mean, that's what this card is about. If you got one last week, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, they're by the doors as you go out. This is just a request to share with the leadership of the church what you think you're going to give next year so that we can work towards this vision together. together. Next Sunday, we'll have an opportunity during worship for everybody to have filled out their card, bring it with you, and come and lay it on the altar rail, and we'll pray over them together. Not just over the card or the money, because that's what Jesus said, it wasn't about the money, it was about what we're giving of ourselves to God and to the work of God's church in the world. But I mean, if you're not going to be here next Sunday and you want to get it in some other way, or if you've got it today and you want to bring it up here and turn it in, you're welcome to do that. But that's all this is. But I think when Jesus pointed out that woman, that widow, he was saying that she was giving of herself, her life, calling us to give of ourselves, our lives, our hopes to the one who gave his life so that we can live and give. And we do that together here as God's church in Chamblee. So I want to ask you, if you would, to stand, and we're going to sing one more song, a closing hymn before we go. We'll sing hymn number 152, I Sing the Almighty Power of God.